Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
And we'll be sizzling later on. Summer heat is here.
Yeah, this will be our first taste of some real summer heat this young season here. We'll see the humidity tick up a little bit too. So like I said, it will really feel like a summer day out there today.
That's Jim Mitchell tracking our forecast at the National Weather Service. He expects highs to be in the mid to upper 80s today, around 80 degrees downtown for the Sabres party in the plaza and the Canalside watch party.
It's really not going to cool off too much, especially as you go into this evening. You may get down into the low 70s, but again, the humidity won't be too bad. It'll be quite a difference from all of the other watch parties that we've seen so far this year.
Yeah, it's the one watch party everybody's been waiting for, to have just this kind of warmth before a game.
Been a long time since you've had a Sabres game in this type of weather.
Yeah, it's really going to add to the fever.
It's going to be a great atmosphere downtown in Buffalo today for Game 7. Sabres Canadiens tonight just after 7:30. Winner moves on to face Carolina in the conference final. Lindy Ruff yesterday talked about replicating what made the team so successful in Game 6.
The goal is to make Game 7 like Game 6. Move the puck quick, play with a lot of pace, keep our feet moving in the offensive zone, and close real quickly in the defensive zone. That's our recipe.
Play hard, play fast. Alex Tuch, still looking for his first point this series, talked about playing in Game 7.
Do or die. We got a little taste of that last game. But now both teams are going to need to be desperate. So, I'm really excited, really happy we're able to give Sabres fans a Game 7 here.
Yeah, the thing about Alex Tuch this series is, do you remember how many points Derek Plant had in 97 before he scored that goal to win it in overtime in Game 7?
I don't, but I have a feeling it was...
Who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Right.
I have no idea. No. Who cares?
I know.
He scored the overtime winner in Game 7.
And that's all you remember.
He's a legend forever for doing that.
So the same thing can happen.
All it takes is a good performance in one game. And Alex Tuch, I mean, you're right back into it. And that's what everybody's hoping for, whether it's him or somebody else, somebody to step up in Game 7 tonight. Just the third time it's happened in Buffalo in Sabres history, which is hard to believe, all these years. But
it's here.
We're expecting it tonight. Puck drops just after 7:30.
In other news this morning, President Trump is issuing another warning to Iran about a potential peace deal. Lucas Tomlinson has more from Dubai.
This appears to be the final warning from President Trump, warning Iran that if it doesn't make a deal, he's going to end the ceasefire and resume bombing and full-scale combat operations, perhaps with Israel as well, posting on Truth Social, quote, "For Iran, the clock is ticking, and they better get moving fast or there won't be anything left of them. Time is of the essence," signed President DJT. In Axios reporting, Trump warns Iran the clock is ticking until U.S. launches harder strikes. U.S. officials say Trump wants a deal to end the war, but Iran's rejection of his many demands and refusal to make meaningful concessions on its nuclear program has put the military option back on the table.
President Trump reportedly held another meeting with members of his security team to consider military options.
Former Erie County District Attorney John Flynn set to take over as Town of Tonawanda supervisor today. Here's WBEN's Jim Fink.
Multitasking comes easy for former Erie County DA John Flynn. Good thing, because later tonight, Flynn will likely be appointed Town of Tonawanda supervisor, replacing his longtime friend Joe Imminger, who retired from the post earlier this month. Flynn will wear two titles, Tonawanda supervisor while serving also as senior counsel for the prominent Buffalo law firm of Lippis Mathias LLP. This is old hat stuff for Flynn, who juggled a number of elected and private sector jobs at the same time during his career.
Now I only got two jobs. I'll have this and the supervisor job, but I'll clearly be able to do both, and I'll be able to do both, to a great degree.
While Flynn knows there is a myriad of issues, some more pressing than others in the town, But to him, especially given his background in law enforcement, it all begins with public safety.
You know, public safety is always going to be a priority of mine. You know, as a former district attorney, as a former chief law enforcement officer of Erie County, you know, public safety is paramount. And because if you don't live and work in a safe community, then quite frankly, you have nothing.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
All right, Jim, thank you. One of the four Canadians aboard the cruise ship hit with the hantavirus outbreak has tested positive for it.
The person, one member of a couple in their 70s, began showing mild symptoms, including a fever and a headache 2 days ago. Both are in a hospital in Victoria. The infected person's partner tested negative for hantavirus. The four Canadians returned to British Columbia a week ago. The outbreak on the ship has reached 12 cases, 9 of which have been confirmed. 3 people have died from hantavirus since the outbreak began on the cruise ship MV Hondius. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
Well, a horrifying mid-air collision as two Navy jets collided during a military air show in Idaho. The planes plummeting to the ground, a fiery crash. All 4 crew members able to eject, reported to be in stable condition.
What began as a tight formation at the Gunfighter Skies Air Show in southwest Idaho Sunday afternoon turned into a mid-air disaster. Thousands of spectators watched 2 Navy Growler jets appear to clip each other, twisting vertically and falling. Then, a sigh of relief, 4 parachutes deployed as the wreckage of the jets spiraled toward the ground, erupting into a massive fireball.
Wow, it was unbelievable video. It's Jonathan Viglianotti with the story. But again, all 4 crew members able to eject from those planes.
Amazing. $1 billion measure to pay for security around the new White House ballroom was rejected over the weekend by the Senate parliamentarian, who said it violates the rule Republicans must use to pass the bill without Democratic votes.
We've already seen spokespeople for Majority Leader John Thune coming out and saying they intend to try to redraft the language to bring it in line with the Senate rule. So hopefully that language can still be included. Republicans are far from done pushing for this $1 billion allocation that they say is going to go for a lot of things related to security, including the ballroom, but not just the ballroom.
That's Allie Pecorin in Washington.
And chaos at Swatch stores around the world. Shoppers desperately trying to get their hands on a rare watch. What year is this? Police recently had to control an unruly crowd outside of a mall in Philly.
Swatch and luxury timepiece maker Audemars Piguet, whose watches can sell for millions, collaborated to create the highly sought-after Royal Pop pocket watch. Swatch is selling them in stores for about $400, but online they're being resold for up to 10 times that. An extra 100 officers were called in as people tried to enter the mall by breaking down the doors. One person was arrested.
That's Hannah Bada.
Some of the videos, it's absolutely crazy.
It makes you think, are people looking to grab, like
resell them?
Resell them, or do they actually want the pocket watch?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Whatever it is, it was.
But it's like a Black Friday from years ago on steroids.
I don't get it, but you know what? I actually love to see it. You know, it's been a while since we've seen it. The retail store, they need your help. And if it means knocking down a few doors, they might take it at the end of the day. I don't know.
Right.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for lots of sunshine today with summer-like highs in the mid to upper 80s, turning breezy with southwest winds increasing to 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusting close to 30 miles an hour at times. Warm and humid tonight. We'll see overnight lows in the upper 60s. Sunshine giving way to increasing clouds tomorrow with showers and thunderstorms approaching later on. We'll see highs in the mid to upper 80s once again, turning cooler for Wednesday with highs slipping back into the upper 60s. With the exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Mary Beth Robel.
Somebody call the Undertaker. The Buffalo Sabres are far from dead. They're alive. They're alive. And they're going to Game 7 in Buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. Dan Dunleavy with us live this morning on WBEN on the Bison Automotive Live Line. Sabres play-by-play man who will be on the call tonight with Rob Ray on WGR. Dan, Saturday's win was so amazing. Does it carry over to tonight, or are we hitting the reset button?
Typically of games like that, I mean, Montreal would be the first to tell you too, right? They won the game before that, game five, in pretty convincing fashion, and it didn't carry over for them back on their home ice, and it's been that kind of a series. But I will say this, I think a lot of what Lindy Ruff talks about with this team is what they continue to go through and what they continue to learn and grasp. And they found a way, this group, to figure things out. And so you have one game to figure it out here. And the figuring out is the emotion, the understanding that you need to find a way to play free and aggressive and not play, you know, in fear of making a mistake, but play with confidence to attack the game. Because we've all seen, as we did in game six, when the Sabres attack the game, when they're coming at you with a forecheck, when they're shooting pucks, I'm just doing some of my notes here for the game tonight, and Tage Thompson had 11 shot attempts in that game. You know, he winds up with a goal and three assists on the game winner. So they need to play the style of game that's made them successful. So I think the carryover to get to the summit of your question is understanding that that's how they have to play to win. It doesn't matter where it is, if it's at home or if it's on the road, but play that way with that energy. And even if you're down like they were 3-1, keep playing that way. Because when you do, and if you play at 5-on-5 with these Canadians, then you give yourself a really good chance to win the hockey game. So if there's a carryover, it's knowing how you have to play. It's not doubting yourself. It's just that, look, if we want to win, we have to do it this way. We can't deviate from that. So I think that's your carryover.
Really a weird series to be going seven games because, with the exception of maybe game four, I mean, all these games are really lopsided.
You know what? They do seem lopsided, and you're not wrong. Both teams have been on the wrong end of things. And again, as I say, it kind of gets blown up because it's happening in your own arena. And it's, you know, it's just a reminder in life. It doesn't matter where you do what you need to do and do it right. Just do it right. And you give yourself a chance to be successful. So I think when you really break down the guts of the game, the series is closer than it appears. A couple of times, obviously, Alex Lyon, Jakub Dobish, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, all three of them who've appeared in this series, Fowler for a brief period of time, they've had really good moments, and they've had moments that, you know, a goaltender has to think past and put to bed and just come back to work and try to make the next save. So that is not something we're used to seeing. Normally, you see a goaltender kind of ride their way through a series, maybe one appearance by the second one, but you know, aside from that, there are a couple of stats that have been wavering between the teams. But again, when they just sit down and play 5-on-5 against one another, and there's not too many penalties that are littering the game, you know, and a lot of that is on the players, and some of it obviously is just on the humanity of an official calling the game. What do they deem a penalty, and when are they going to call it? When are they not going to call it? So the series has been just like their entire season series. Fairly close, to be honest with you. The scores don't look like it, but even in the games where it gets away from you, I remember the game back here in Buffalo where it got away from them. It was really just a period in that second period where Buffalo didn't play well, and Montreal pounced, and they took control of it. But, you know, the remainder of that game, first period and third period, the Sabres were back into their battle. They just couldn't climb out of that hole, just like Montreal when the Sabres had their moment after falling down 3-1, and they rhyme off that run of goals. The Canadians just didn't have enough to find their way back. So, it looks lopsided, but I think it's closer than it appears in the rearview mirror.
Sabres power play was back in game six. Mm-hmm. It was 4 of 5. What did they do better in that game? Can they bring that back tonight?
Yeah. So everyone's looking for slogans, right, in playoffs. And between the two coaches, Lindy Ruff and Martin Saint-Louis, and any coach, right? They'll come up with slogans these days. And the big one always, I think, when you're especially in a broadcast booth and also when you're a fan sitting in the seats, whether you're watching a Sabres game or you're watching Josh Allen, I can speak for my wife. She is always yelling to the Bills to throw the ball. And I think for the Sabres, it's shoot the puck. So that was a difference on the power play for me. And as I just, you know, just going over some things here, getting ready for tonight, you know, Jack Quinn, there's a couple of times we've seen him in the series where he has really good puck control, but it's easier for us upstairs and easier in the crowd and at home to say, shoot the puck. They're going to shoot it if they see a lane to take the shot. But I think in this game, what they were able to do in the power play is just, look, it doesn't matter how or how hard you get it to the net. Just get it there. And for Quinn, you know, Jack was just firing pucks, and he gets that game-winning goal on the power play, which was good for him. Jason Zucker, great to see him. He goes to the front of the net. He's found by Norris, who slides the puck in front. And these are very narrow margins of success. You see where Zucker gets his stick on the puck on that goal around the defenseman to put it through a very small hole just beyond the goaltender's right arm. So the margins for success are very slim. But you only get those margins if you go where you have to go. So for Zucker, mm-hmm. it's in front of the net. For Jack Quinn, it's shoot the puck. Same with Tage Thompson.
I was asking earlier, you know, does anybody remember what Derek Plant did games 1 through 6 in 1997? Because it doesn't really matter. And I kind of feel the same way about Alex Tuch tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, you could for the feel-good story. And obviously, if you're looking to hang a moment on someone, that it would certainly mean it would mean everything to all these guys. But I get the connection here, probably that you're referring to in the situation that he's in, and with contracts and future and stuff like that. So that's understandable. But, you know, it's you bringing up that question. I remember turning to Marty and Razor at one point in the series, and I don't think we were on air at the time, but I thought somewhere, because this thing is so close, you always, you know, Alex Newhook, a player Montreal acquires, he becomes their playoff darling because he's got 6 goals to this point in the playoffs. And the Sabres finally found a way to kind of keep him at bay in the last game in game 6. But to your point, you're looking for who's that someone going to be that has the moment. And I thought for our group, listen, everyone's contributed all year, but I felt, you know, who's that new blood? Who's the fresh someone, something to come in the lineup who's not really playing that tight because it's their first playoff game. They don't care if it's in Montreal. They don't care if it's in Buffalo. I mean, they care if it's in Buffalo, but not when the puck drops. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm going to work here. So for Costa Helenis to show up from Rochester after seeing him here for a little bit, he's on the ice just playing. There's no fear in this guy's game. And then the other guy was Zach Metsa the other night, who played such a fabulous and consistent regular season on defense for us. He gets an opportunity twice in game 6 just to shoot the puck. And yes, the second one was a late goal, but it was a good goal. So, you know, I'm kind of, it could be anyone in our lineup, and to not put it all on Alex, I know what you're saying. It would be a great framed story, but there's just so much depth on this Buffalo team of any player from a Costa Helenis to a Zach Metsa, all the way up to your Bensons, to your Dahlins, to your Tage, to your Tuck, to find that moment to get that goal for you. I mean, heck, it could be Beck Malenstein or Peyton Krebs, right? So there's just, the list is deep. I mean, we haven't even touched the, Owen Power doesn't have a playoff goal yet. How would that be for him to get his first in that moment that you speak of? So go right down the line. Any of these guys, it would just be a great story, and they will all have earned the moment when it comes.
Well, can't wait to hear you start calling this game. Dan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.